And now back to
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
He can't quit us. And we can't quit you either.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington. Still to come, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. Senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Can confirm, we're back from the dark week, and we're 1 hour into our first show back here in July, the day before the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Rich Eisen sitting in the chair. That's my voice. It's the name of my show. And if you're watching the Roku channel, you're seeing me in a very nice light blue linen shirt. And I feel so good about being tanned and rested and relaxed that normally when I wear linen, it looks like I'm wearing a burlap sack, but it looks really good. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you went to Canadian tuxedo today.
I did not go Canadian tuxedo today.
It's close.
No. I'll tell you, by the way, later on this hour, how about this for a tease? No one's going to care. You'll never guess the last time I wore this on television.
Okay.
That's going to be later on. That's called a
tease.
I don't know. People are teased by it.
It's a pretty good tease.
In hour number one, we spoke to Jeff Darlington of ESPN talking about football. That's what he covers for them. We also went down a Mad Lib wormhole with Victor Wembanyama going in a catch in the Aria Casino and getting being tapped on the shoulder by Britney Spears. There's one big Mad Lib. Just take your favorite French basketball player, name a casino in Vegas. And then your favorite pop star from either the 80s, 90s, or the aughts. And it was great. My favorite one that I had was Nick Batum walking through the Excalibur and having a run-in with Belinda Carlisle. That was really fun for me. Or did I say Tiffany? What was that, the Evan Fournier one? Tiffany? All right, I'm going to stop doing that. Hour number three, Chris Mannix will join us to tell us what the hell has going on there in the Summer League. And what this NBA in-season tournament is all about. It's Major League Baseball All-Star Week. I just said Ellie De La Cruz should be in this damn game. I don't care. It's called All-Star, right? And he's a star. He's a star in the making. Join us talking about everything going on in Major League Baseball at Baseball's Break on the night of the Home Run Derby on the Worldwide Leader in Sports is our favorite Jeff Passan back on the program. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great, Rich. I don't know how the quality of the audio is coming through right now. I hope it's good because I am there's a little get together with Julio Rodriguez this morning, and I left that and am now down the hall inside of a room with two ice machines and a very leaky faucet. And it's just beautiful. I love this.
Okay.
I've never done a radio hit from an ice machine room before.
Okay.
So I just hope no one comes in.
Are you in the bowels of the stadium in Seattle? Is that what you're saying? Where you are right now?
No. This is at a hotel. Oh. Actually, I'll send you a picture right now.
I would like it.
So you can.
I would
see
like
the ridiculousness.
Well, if you have reception enough, I don't want you to use your any of your G's up on this.
a 1G situation.
It's a 1G situation in that room. Hold on a minute. In all seriousness, did you say there was a death threat for one of the young stars of the game? Is that what you said?
No. Did I say
that? What did you say? Did I mishear that? What's going on right now with Julio Rodriguez that you said?
Oh, he's having an event.
Oh, God. Jeez. Oh, so I think ice just dropped. I think, my God, that was serious. Yeah, okay. So wait a minute.
He's having like a
breakfast
get together.
God bless. Felix
Hernandez just showed up.
Oh, great. Like fantastic.
The luminaries of Seattle.
The luminaries of Seattle. Fantastic. I think that's terrific. Good. I'm so glad. If Jim Lefevre shows up, let me know. Okay. So let's just jump into this, Jeff. What is the major story right now in baseball at this All-Star break? I'll go macro with you to start this conversation. What do you got for me?
I mean, it's got to be Shohei Ohtani, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything about Shohei Ohtani. Let's look at the three different elements that we have intersecting simultaneously. Number one, he's the best player in the world right now. There is no doubt about that. And if there's an argument at this point, is he the most talented player ever to play? I don't think we can say he's the best player yet, because I think when I'm talking best, at least, I'm talking both talent, production, and longevity. I think in order to be the best, you need all three. He's got the talent. He's got the production. We'll see about the longevity. The second element is the Angels stink right now. They're under 500. Their playoff spot, playoff hopes are dwindling. Mike Trout is going to be out through the trade deadline. Do the Angels trade Shohei Ohtani? And if so, where does he go? And is he going to be for the first time in the postseason? Because remember, Stroll has not been in the postseason in his career. And somebody just came in to get some ice, so my apologies. I had to step out so the young gentleman there could get some ice.
Okay. All right. Somebody needs ice. Hold on a minute. I'm going to make this turn. Shohei wants to put ice on his finger, right?
Do you trust hotel ice machines, Rich?
Never. Are you kidding me?
Wait, really?
Exactly.
No.
I will say, though,
I don't.
This is a fancy hotel, and they had two water filters on the wall. So I might trust this hotel ice machine. But the third element with Shohei Ohtani is, where does he go this offseason? He's a free agent. And that's the calculus that the Angels are trying to deal with right now. For 6 years, they have had him. 6 years of not winning. And Shohei Ohtani was at his very happiest during this World Baseball Classic in March when he led Samurai Japan to the championship. I've never seen smiles on his face quite like the ones he had when he was playing in the WBC. So it's clear that winning matters to him. And if the Angels can't win, is he going to resign there? If he doesn't resign there and they keep him for the season, then they get like the 70th pick in the draft next year, which isn't worth a whole lot, as opposed to if they trade him at the deadline this year, they would get a ton, maybe not like a Juan Soto-level package, Rich, but pretty close to it. So there are all of these storylines with Ohtani that are intersecting in a very fascinating way.
Well, what are you hearing there? Because, I mean, they're five out. And since you and I last spoke, we spoke about 3 weeks ago, and they were above 500. They were about six games above 500.
They were a playoff team,
and then Trout breaks his hand. Ohtani, gets pulled from a start with a blister. Rendon gets hurt as well. So the question I have is why? I mean, the writing's on the wall. I mean, Trout's not coming back over the next few weeks, and if they don't make let's just say they don't win five in a row to start the second half. De facto, how do they hold on to him? Or how about this one? This is a better one. Is Ohtani going to like pull Damian Lillard and finally tap his wrist and say, "I want out"? I mean, what does he say? What is he saying?
He will never do that. Though he's going to be speaking in an hour or so.
Okay.
At T-Mobile Park for All-Star Media Day, and that will be, I'm sure, the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth question to him. Some different derivation of, are you going to be traded? Do you want to be traded? Et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think Shohei Ohtani is the sort of person, and baseball is generally not the sort of sport where you request trades and where trade requests are obliged. Remember, Brian Reynolds had a trade request in place with the Pirates, ended up signing an extension with them. Trade requests are used more as contract negotiation leverage in baseball than they are actual, genuine, legitimate, I want to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it comes down to this. Will Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, actually come to terms with what the way he has shepherded and stewarded the franchise has led to? Will he come to terms with the fact that the failures of the last 6 years make Ohtani re-signing that much more difficult? And will he just call, will he just say uncle and say, I'm going to salvage this the best I can? Or is he going to continue his tack, which honestly, the logical part of me doesn't understand, but the emotional part certainly does, in that you have maybe the best player in the history of the game. Do you want to be the person who traded him? And who traded him to a place where potentially he's going to see that not only can he be comfortable there too, but yeah, he can win. The two things are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, of course he's going to want out. It's almost like you don't want to show him that the grass is actually greener on the other side, because as long as he's under this, you know, perspective or seeing through this perspective where, you know, you don't necessarily have to win to play the game, then maybe you can keep deluding him all those years.
Well, he's just got to make a statement. And I say, you know, I know he's going to do it in an hour or say something, but he's got to declare. Like if the because the Angels aren't winning this year with Trout out. I mean, you know, I shouldn't say anything so absolutely, but I think you can say that safely. So the question is will he re-sign in the fall? And if the Angels put on the table something that even starts with a 7 and he says no, then that's the end of it. Then you can basically say, we tried our best. We put something on the table that said a 7. He said he wants to test the waters. So that's it. And we've got to get somebody here. And if I'm looking out at the field and I don't see every seat filled because Ohtani's pitching like it's some sort of festival, which would happen at Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, Citi Field. Yep. I could go on and on and on. If he does show up there, name it. The number of different cities in the United States that would fill up their baseball park once every 5 days just because he is pitching, then I'm Artie Moreno. I'm like, then that's the end of that. I got to cut my losses, at least get something and start building like the Rays do. You know, or the Guardians, and start winning baseball games that way. That's the way I would handle it if I were him, you know?
Yeah, Rich, I don't disagree with you at all, but the battle between logic and emotion is one that has been waged throughout the course of history. And wars are more often fought because of emotion than logic. You know, our logical brains, we know they're right. Our emotional brains are the ones we listen to, though.
At you, Jeff Passan. That's the most thought-provoking thing I've ever heard from somebody sitting in an ice machine room in a hotel in my entire life, Jeff.
It's a high
honestly,
bar, isn't it?
I think that's maybe the most thought-provoking thing that's ever been said in that room, period. Other than just like, you know, who's got the vodka?
What are we mixing with this?
It might be the only thing you said in this room aside from, why are the buckets for the ice purple?
Or so damn small. What do I do with these tongs?
They are.
Okay. Jeff Passan here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Why are there only 3 bags to use as liners for these dirty ice buckets?
That's it.
Shameful.
That's right. Here's a new turn for you. Eric Adams, not the only mayor in New York City now, huh? How about Sean Casey being named the new hitting coach for the Yankees? What the hell's going on with that team right now, Jeff? What's happening?
They don't have Aaron Judge. And when the Yankees don't have Aaron Judge, they're a slightly above average baseball team. And I think they have probably enough pitching to keep them in contention as long as Judge is out. But this is not a team that's better than the Baltimore Orioles. They're not better than the Tampa Bay Rays. They're not better than the Texas Rangers. They're not better than the Houston Astros. You can argue that they're not better than the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, the Yankees are a borderline playoff team right now. And Aaron Boone knows Sean Casey from their days together with the Cincinnati Reds. And Sean Casey, has he been on the show before?
He's delightful. I mean, he's gonna definitely make that clubhouse a lot lively, a lot more. He's infectious, and I would just love that to be part of their hitting approach as well. You know, that would be great.
Yeah, I was gonna say their hitting approach so far has been infected as opposed to infectious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's the point.
I don't know. You know, sometimes you just got to change coaches for the sake of change. Like, if something's not working, then a coach is the right scapegoat. And Dylan Lawson, in this case, was the scapegoat. And I think Sean Casey is a pretty brilliant hitting mind, actually. The guy hit 300 regularly throughout his career and understands the mechanics of hitting extremely well. But this job, to me, is much more of a psychology play than it is a mechanical one. And Sean Casey is going to be there to try and build up guys who have been beaten down by the excellent major league pitching that's out there right now and who just haven't been able to get going because the Yankees offense in the month of June, I believe, was the worst in baseball in terms of runs scored. And seeing that from any New York Yankees team, it boggles the mind because they are the Yankees and because they do have a $275 million payroll and because they do have all these names, whether it's Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, Josh Donaldson, you know, guys who have been extremely productive in the past. Well, there's not a whole lot of productivity coming out of them right now, but I don't deny the fact that it might still be there, and they just need to find someone who can help extract it.
So then, I know that's the problem is their lineup might be constructed better for a 2017 fantasy team. You know what I mean? Like that's potentially the issue. So which team do you think might be that second half? Screw that one. I want to talk Ellie De La Cruz in my time remaining with you. I love this guy.
Good.
I think he is a revelation. I think he should be in Seattle. I think the baseball should create like a commissioner's choice, one in each league. Somebody that's just been dynamite in the month before that might have come up too late, might not have caught fire till the end, and everybody's talking about, and that player should be in the All-Star game. Screw it. I mean, if this is a game where
let me ask you this: did you know that they did invite him to the Home Run Derby?
I did hear that, but he said no. Correct?
He did say no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again,
I understand why he said no. I wish he would have said yes, because you're right. Like baseball is better for having him here and for showcasing him.
But the Home Run Derby, Jeff, and this is no offense to, because I used to be part of that broadcast that I will watch tonight because I'm a fan. Okay. But that's just a sideshow. You know, like the game is what I used to watch all the time to see these guys play baseball against one another. And in this is the first time where we're not having a stupid ass shift. And maybe it'll be more than just a strikeout festival. I'm serious. And that guy should be in the game. That guy should be in the game on Tuesday night. Not some sort of, you know, here comes the money ball. Oh, here's a timeout. You know, like that's not baseball. I'm excited that stars of the game are in it, but I want to see the kid. You know, I want to see the kid play. You know, in the game. Like, let's go Tuesday night. We got to focus on Tuesday night as much as we are Monday night. Am I wrong?
I get it. I'm focused more on Monday night because I just want to see him hit 500 foot home runs.
I guess.
And I think the game itself, it's like the NBA All-Star game right now. I mean, There's competitiveness to it, but it's almost like a high school showcase event more than it is an actual baseball game. Mm. You know, it's not like when we were growing up, guys don't care who wins or loses. There's no great incentive to play well other than you want to be better than the best and you want to prove that. And there's something cool about that, but it seems like on a nightly basis already, Ellie De La Cruz is proving that he is better than the best across the league. And just you know what it is about him, man? It's that he does everything that you want to see. He hits for power. He throws the ball harder than anybody across the diamond. And on the base paths, he's an absolute terror. And it's just fun. And he's doing it with a joie de vivre that I really appreciate. That, like, you can tell he's having fun out there.
Yes.
And it's players like him and Julio Rodriguez and Ronald Acuna and Fernando Tatis. There's just a younger generation that tends to be mostly of Latin American baseball players who have been training to do this very thing that they're doing from an extremely early age. And there are a lot of problems, Rich, with baseball in Latin America. There's a lot of corruption down there. But I'll say one thing, the Dominican Republic and Venezuela right now are better at turning out stars than the United States, which is a wild conceit. That is a crazy thing to say, but if you just go and look at all the most dynamic players in the world right now, like not a lot of them are from the U.S. Corbin Carroll's up there, but Corbin Carroll like grew up in Seattle. He was not part of the youth baseball development machine that's taking place right now. So it's one of those macro 30,000 foot things that baseball should be taking a look at, especially the people in the United States mm-hmm. who run youth development and say, where are we going wrong and where can we go right?
But I love watching him, man. The joie de vivre part, as you mentioned, that's the key. Just when he crossed home plate. By the way, who thinks of that, right? When, as soon as I get to third, I'm going home. You know, I'm about to steal home. Yeah. You know, I'm screw it. Like, let's go.
I loved it. Did you see the story I wrote on Ellie by chance?
Go for it.
Did you know he has a twin brother?
Get out of here. Okay.
He has a twin brother who is 5'8".
Oh, my God. So he's got an Altuve in the family? Is that what you're saying? Is he going to be that good?
It's like Schwarzenegger and DeVito.
They're like twins. Really.
It's like the movie.
I was going to say, it's a total. I asked them, I was on the phone with both of them, and I asked that question. Hey, have you guys seen Twins? And they were like, what's Twins? And I'm like, Jesus, I am old. I'm so old right now.
You're covering baseball from an ice machine room, Jeff. I mean, that's old. I'm not going to lie.
Pedro de la Cruz running Pedro's boutique car wash down in the Dominican Republic while his brother does things that make rich eyes and swoon.
I love it. It's awesome. I will look forward to reading that. ESPN.com, MLB Insider. Jeff Passan, great job, Jeff. Really appreciate you, you know, dodging the ice. Is there a snack machine in there too? Or it's just ice?
No, but here, we're gonna do some sound effects.
Wow. Okay, that sounds cubed. That doesn't sound crushed to me. That sounds cubed.
Yep. That's It's the rectangular cubes that have like the little striations at the bottom.
Oh, is it like indention?
It might be my favorite. Yeah, it might be my favorite kind of ice, actually.
I mean, that's impressive. Very nice. They got nice hotels there in Seattle. Wow. To salute, man. They didn't put me up there when I covered this, the All-Star Game in Seattle in 2000. Or is that 2001,
yeah,
I think?
They didn't put me up here either. This is where the ball players are staying.
Okay. Good to know that the ice machine isn't the only thing frozen in time. Thank you very much, Jeff. Really appreciate the time. Great chatting with you, man. Thanks again, bud. Oh, there we go. That's Jeff Passan, everybody. The G's ran out. Just in time at the end there. One of our favorites, Jeff Passan. I love it. He makes me smarter. He loves the game. I love it. I did not see his piece on the De La Cruzes. I would have read that immediately.
I heard it. He did an episode of ESPN Daily where they talked to him about it.
Oh, great.
And he talked about going down and visiting. It was him and Jeremy Schapp. And they
Schapp.
And talking to his brother. And Jeff's like, yeah, we're about the same size. And I was like, how? How?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Him and Schapp in the Dominican Republic is almost as great a Mad Lib as Victor Wembanyama in the Aria Hotel. That's like Clue, isn't it?
Yes.
Wembanyama and the Aria Hotel with the spears.
Security guard's arm.
All right. we will take a break. There's an NBA in-season tournament, everybody. And we're going to talk about it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial your phone calls as well here on this fun Monday show.
The average on-farm income in the United States was a loss of $1,100. 60% of U.S. pork comes from one company wholly owned by the Chinese. And farmers are more likely to commit suicide than veterans. Folks, we got a problem. I'm Lucinda, 8th-generation farmer and founder of Moink. Moo plus oink. We offer grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon, shipped straight from the heart of rural America. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with us by putting the family farm at the center of your supper table. What's in it for you? You mean besides saving the family farm and enjoying the highest quality meat on God's green earth? Geez, want me to hang the moon for you too? I'd love to.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum right now and get a free gift in your first order.
Get to getting while the getting is good.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum. Moinkbox.com/yum.
I guarantee you're fixing to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
What was it like shooting that scene, though, with Ray Kinsella and his father?
What I did was I went back to when I first read it. And so I become the audience when I read it. And when I read it, I went, I couldn't believe that it had orchestrated itself to that thing. And I had that feeling on the couch. And so I knew if I played that straight, if I didn't wink at anybody, that these players did come. You know, that's my corner. You know, they kept coming after me. I wasn't going to be able to do that movie. I was going to do Revenge. And I got into Revenge kept getting pushed. And finally, I had to put my foot down and say, look, if you don't get this movie together, I'm going to go to do this movie in the corn. I asked the director, why did you hold out for me so long? Why? And he said, well, and this is one of the greatest actors we've ever seen. He goes, they wanted me to do it with Robin Williams. And I said, Robin Williams is perfect. He said, yeah, but when I think of Robin, I think he does hear voices in the corn. And I don't want that. People don't believe you hear voices. That's a director that makes a save. That's a Mariano Rivera, you know?
Sure.
It's a save. He saved his movie because of his belief in an idea. You know, not the quality of actor, because Robin Williams will never.
Of course,
this is a guy so special. But I was curious. I said, he's actually a bigger star than me. You know, whatever. And he goes, I need somebody that you don't think hears voices.
And that would be you. I've never heard Robin Williams was considered for that role. That's unbelievable. And then you did it, and obviously we're talking about it today.
Yeah. It had gold dust on it when I read it, because I did that little intake of breath. Do you want to have a catch? And of course, I wept myself.
Man, love that. Kevin Costner, many appearances. Check them all out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All rise. Let's take Turzo and Iowa's phone call. First in, first up, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. How you been, Turzo? You good?
Oh, been well, man. I'm happy you guys are back on the air.
Thanks, pal.
No bad blood that you guys went dark for a week. But I do have a little bit of a question for TJ, and I hope he might actually have a blank space on his calendar.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, TJ Jefferson, I think I know what's coming, but go for it, Turzo. Unleash it. No, it's not a bet. I kind of dig this. Let's see if you're up for it. Go for it, Turzo.
I'm gonna do my best here to try and convince TJ to kind of get out and go do something fun. But TJ, my girlfriend, my awesome, lovely, beautiful girlfriend, got us T-Swift tickets for the 29th of July.
Okay.
It's a great denim stadium there in Santa Clara. All right.
The Field of Jeans. The Field of Jeans.
Yep. The Field of Jeans. She is unable to attend this event because she has to go to Europe for work, unfortunately. And I was not able to make arrangements to get my niece to go with me because they already had plans for the summer. So I'm throwing this out there to you, TJ.
Mm-hmm.
Great tickets. You want to go with me?
Yes. I'll
accept. No, stop,
for
stop,
him.
Stop. Please don't do that. TJ. So hold on a minute. Just so once again, you are inviting TJ Jefferson to join you at the home of the 49ers for a Taylor Swift concert. What date is this again? What do we got?
It would be July 29th.
What day of the week is that?
That is a Saturday. My thought is I would fly into L.A. Friday.
Oh.
I'd pick you up, TJ, and we drive to Santa Clara, my man.
Terzo, that's a long drive, bro.
Oh, wow. Forget it. Okay.
That's a long drive. I know, but it'd be fun.
That's a long drive.
So how about this, Terzo? Let's remove that. If you don't want to hang in a car with Terzo for 5 hours, do you want to go to this concert?
You know, Turzo, first and foremost, I got to say, man, that is really amazing is. That you would think of me.
Do you know how many
people on this planet Earth that you would think of me? And I got to say, man, I'm humbled and I thank you so much. But the thing is,
I'm just not a Swiftie, bro. Like, and as much as I appreciate the offer, that means a lot. I will never ever forget that. Right now, I have to.
It's about the experience.
I have to be like, I don't know, man. Now, if it was like,
we could TikTok the whole thing, and I'd almost guarantee that. You guys already have a huge following on TikTok.
We do.
Which I didn't show.
We do now.
I think it might just be a little bit more fun content.
You know, Terz, I'd have to give this some serious thought.
How about this?
TJ, just think about it.
His initial reaction is two things. One, you're forcing him to do something he doesn't want to do, and that's not hang with you. It's leaving his house. That's number one, okay?
That's, yeah. I do not like
okay.
doing
he's,
that.
You would have to leave his house.
In L.A.
And then number two, he needs to wrap his mind around people seeing him and think, that's a Swiftie right there. You get these are two. Am I wrong? I feel like I've gotten to know you long enough. You have to leave your house.
You got that.
It's got nothing to do with the Terzo thing.
Oh, me and Terzo. Okay. I would love to kick it with Terzo.
But you also don't like you've got some sort of cred that you feel like you can't wrap your arms around going to a Taylor Swift concert. Just because my 9-year-old went to one and Aaron Rodgers, who's beaten the Cowboys multiple times in your life, went to one what it comes from is you might view it in a negative light because you're seeing who is in fact acting it's the greatest thing ever because for many people it is.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, I don't associate Taylor Swift with Aaron Rodgers. I more associate her with like Selena Gomez.
Okay.
And it's not about me thinking like I'm past the point where I want anybody to worry about if I'm cool or not. I got to be honest. I never in my life, there's many things in my life that I could see myself doing. And
that's
going
not
to
one
a
of them.
Taylor Swift concert was just never.
Everyone's going to that
just
concert
never
this
one
year.
That
my
I
God,
ever thought of.
It's truly
everyone's going
like a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Even go
all right, so Terzo. Last thing. So give one more. Like, what's your last pitch here? As TJ is, you are not rejecting it.
I'm not.
It's under consideration.
I got a marinade.
But right now, the needle is closer to E than F. Right, and your gas tank on this.
My car, which has 1 mile on it, when I pulled in today. Yes,
TJ, I don't take it to heart, my man. I figured I'd shoot my shot. I figured it'd be hilarious. But Rich, this would be my last little pitch here for you.
Okay,
is my girlfriend would like to donate those tickets. So instead of pulling a Brockman and just trying to sell them for as much money as possible, I would like to offer and extend this out to you. And I would probably need your help with this because your name means a lot more than my name. We'd like to probably donate those to St. Jude's. Whether or not that some kid that has an opportunity to go to this concert, if they're there with somebody else, and or if we're able to raise more money to donate.
Okay.
Well, Terzo, can I interrupt real quick? If that is your second option, I would much rather, if that is what you wanted to do, because you could get a car with these tickets, but if that is what you wanted to do, I will then gladly step aside and say, no, I do not want to go, simply for the fact to give, if you're serious and you just want to like do that, I would much rather, bro, you do that, give someone an opportunity who would really cherish and love that moment. And so I will gracefully, I thank you. And I will not forget that, but I'll gracefully bow out if that is your other option.
You let TJ off the hook and
know,
make
I
allow
him,
it through
Rich,
philanthropy.
I know I let him off the hook.
You
but
did.
I kind of already knew that the judgment was coming down.
Okay.
So, but it's not about the money, Rich. You know. It's,
no, I know
it's
that.
About that experience, and if I'm not able to take my girlfriend or my niece
or TJ,
and, my buddy TJ. Then I would much rather somebody really enjoy that experience.
All right. Well, obviously
so
we know how to. We know.
Are, I would. Yep.
No, obviously we know how to connect with you. We're gonna make that happen. We'll do our best.
Oh, okay. I love it.
All right,
man,
brother.
Terzo, that was
thank
awesome.
There
thanks,
you
Rich. I appreciate you guys.
All right,
thanks,
Terzo in Iowa, as wonderful and philanthropic as he is, teachers just want to go on a 5-hour road trip with him.
Well, the
no, like no, 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 that's it. That's it. That was your first thing. It's just like that's a long time in the car, man.
That is a long time in the car. But like I said, option B was, I got to be honest, that was.
Now,
that
you want no part
of
the Taylor Swift concert.
Option B sounded much better than me.
Okay. We're going to make that happen.
And they are worth cars.
Great chat.
That would have been great content.
I know. It would have been even went TikTok with him, which is one of the few social media outlets that haven't banned TJ.
Brings the dog for the back seat.
There you go. So, very good.
Instagram hasn't banned me yet. Just that.
How does that
threads either, right? You still
don't. How does the Michael Rubin white party video strike you?
I wish I was there.
Do you really?
Seems like a
what
good
would
time.
You do there?
What would I do?
Yeah, what would you do there? Honestly, like, you show up.
What's my angle?
It's not an angle. Like you show up, and there's that many wildly successful and famous people there. Like, who would you talk to?
I think
like, what would you do?
People would be like, look, if you're at this party, you're obviously somebody. So it doesn't really matter what my level of quote unquote fame is. I'm at this party, so it doesn't really matter. I'm there.
It's not like you're.
I'm in the door.
It's not like you're one of those. I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Like you're
or
not
like Costanza at the weird hot model bar. You know what I mean? Like,
Rich,
I'm
talking to the guy who's on a golf celebrity tournament tour.
That's an actor.
He's an actor, so he's already in
that
world.
76
so
you wouldn't on Friday.
You wouldn't be self conscious. By the way, congrats. You wouldn't be self conscious.
No.
I would be self-conscious. Do you know what I'd be self-conscious about?
Rich, one or two summer cocktails, the self-consciousness kind of goes out the door.
Well, that's my, what I would be self-conscious about at that party.
Spilling something on the white?
A million percent.
I know. Yeah, I don't like going to white parties.
A million.
And I mean the clothing.
Percent. I am a magnet for droplets. I am a magnet for just that one
clear. That means
thing.
Vodka tequila.
You guys,
vodka tequila. You can't, no red,
vodka.
No dark.
No, but
brown,
no.
Yeah, but
it's, no. Excuse me. It's not just me being a mess. I'm a magnet for that person who bumps into you.
Yeah, I understand.
And then could you imagine you show up like I'm going to, plus, I mean, it's usually linen. I already told you this shirt that I'm wearing today had to be steamed because it looked great leaving the house. Otherwise, Susie would have been like, you can't wear that. So she gave it the check mark. I'm
wrinkled
like, I
car.
Do feel good.
In the car wrinkle?
The last time I wore this shirt was on The Great Escape on TNT.
No way.
That's the last. Yeah, I wore this in the Boneyard episode.
So that shirt's older than Taylor's?
It is indeed.
Wow.
So so I decided to wear it. And as soon as I got here, Sarah of our makeup department, I'll throw in wardrobe too, because she's just like, we got to steam it. Yeah, I know. We're a small operation here.
So did you drive to work with it tucked in and
I did. Like, it was ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that, dog.
No, so what I'm just saying is I if it's invariably, it's like white and it's linen, and then I show up and I would be just like, okay, this is what I got. I'm showing up here. Could you imagine you walk into that party and you get ketchup on it? Right. Like, and you're
ketchup,
meeting Leo DiCaprio and Emrata, you know, and whoever else is there. And it's just like, I'd have to stand there like this. Like, did you hurt yourself? No, I didn't hurt myself. No, I'm covering up the one ketchup stain that's been there since 7:30.
Would you just play the corner? Just stand in the corner so you couldn't have
I would just find the right people, you know, and just let them come to me, sure.
See, Rich, I don't like going to
I'm a value add. No, Michael Rubin knows I'd be a value add to that party. But I'd be completely nervous about getting
spillage.
Something on me. And I couldn't wait till it gets dark because then I'd feel a little more confident walking around that party. You know what I mean?
Have you watched the video yet?
I did. It's very impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
I'm a fanatic for that party.
Well done.
Thank you.
I give a shout out to Don Bowie, who just texted me something that I said that I guess didn't sound the way I thought it was going to sound. I guess I said I don't like going to white parties, but that's not what I meant, Don. I meant the clothing because I'm thick and all white just doesn't, it's not flattering.
No, I've done them, but so when I was
understood.
I'm the type of guy who I will wear
come
all
on,
black to an all white party just because
you
I'm
can't,
just,
but you can't.
But
you can't.
I do things like
you
that.
You can't.
But I've done it.
Come on, you don't
I'm
have like a stone
you,
cold t shirt that's
no.
white. Like you wouldn't wear like your Golden Girls t shirt isn't white.
Stone Cold wouldn't wear all white.
It's not all white, just a t-shirt that's white.
Nah, man.
Like just I said, the top
I've,
has to be
I've
white.
I've gone to all white parties.
Whoa, wait a minute.
I'm a professional white party guy, right?
What do you mean you're the only top?
I'm consulting the guy.
What are you talking about?
DJed and gone. I've done hundreds of them.
What do you mean only the top needs to be white?
Yes, you just the top part. Mike, you don't have to have white pants.
Everyone's wearing white pants. Did you watch the video?
Yes.
Did you watch the video?
You can, but you don't have to.
Everyone's
wearing
white.
You could wear.
That's the point.
Other, as long as something's white.
If you walked up to me, Mike, if you walked up to me, hold on a second, at a white party with a white shirt and black pants, I would ask you for a drink because I think you're working there.
Like, where? I did not say black.
I would think or khaki.
A light color with white.
I would think you're working there. I would give you my toothpick from the very carefully dipped in ketchup pig in a blanket.
Okay, the last white party I went to was all white.
That's
tough. White tops and white bottoms.
Ketchup, rolling the dice.
I never spill anything on myself, and I could be a slob.
Okay, I understand.
Watch the video. Nobody's wearing anything but white.
I know, but you could wear, hypothetically,
except for
white.
Except being all black.
But I have a question for you.
Tom Brady's wearing a t-shirt. It's amazing.
Is there like a website that has this white party sort of rules, do's and don'ts?
I'm sure it's on the...
Yeah.
But what if it's like, what if Ruben's like all white? You got to dress all white.
Which apparently he did.
Joe Burrow's white tank top has kind of a gray rim to it.
I'm telling you, you could mix and match a little.
Somebody's date is wearing like a white with black polka dot dress.
Yeah, okay. It's white in it.
Okay.
But obviously, if you're saying everybody's wearing white.
No, that's Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah,
I mean, I wore like a white Pompeo could show up like white khakis with like kind of like white pants with like a white top.
Leo's got way too many buttons unbuttoned.
Kangol.
People wearing cream.
TJ, white Kangol. That's all you need. You're good.
Ben Affleck is there with his daughter, who looks exactly like Jennifer Garner. They could be twins.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But what are they wearing? That's all we care about.
They're wearing white.
Okay. White.
Actually, Ben Affleck's kind of wearing a cream sport coat.
Tom Brady's living his best life. That's all I got
to
say.
Tom Brady's invited. Let's just put it that way. Whatever party he wants to go to.
And Kim Kardashian.
All I know is I would just walk in there.
Not dating Kim Kardashian.
I would have to.
Dancing. I said dancing with.
I'd have to stay away from the red wine and the ketchup. I would be. It would honestly.
It's a vodka night.
Straight vodka.
It's not a me thing. It's just like I am a magnet for two things: somebody else's food or drink
is going to land on you,
and ambient noise in hotel rooms. Honestly, I'm a magnet for that.
Last night of the valley, somebody was lighting off fireworks at 11 o'clock at night, and I could not get to sleep.
Sorry about that.
What
brother.
Are we doing?
All right, let's take a break here. speaking of grievances, the NBA in season tournament. I don't think there's a lot of fans here in this room. We'll talk it up in advance of Chris Mannix. Overreaction Monday still coming. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, back here on the program. We're Factors, both our guests. First up, what do you want to do first? Darlington? All right, Jeff Darlington said he was going to change his Twitter bio.
Oh, did he
and he has done so. As you could see, I'm also here to get aggregated.
Well, it's only here. He needs to change the also to only.
Well, it's traveling the country to bring you the stories of sports and the people who play them, so...
That's really.
I'm also here to get aggregated.
Also, I think that's that Lambeau Field in his profile.
I mean, he's letting you know he's bringing you the stories and people who play them, and he's traveling the country. You know, I appreciate that. We'll take it. He said he was going to do it, and he did it.
He did it. That was nice.
Jeff Passan said he was going to send us a photograph of where he was.
Let's see this room.
He has done it. There it is.
Oh my God!
Not what I clearly imagined. What?
I don't understand. I mean, that's an ice machine, but it looks like, what is that? Is it also a nuclear reactor?
Is that a
flux capacitor? What the hell is that?
Is that my pool equipment? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, it does look like pool equipment.
Yeah, it looks like pool equipment.
It literally.
By the way, look how he is definitely the best dressed person to ever walk in there.
Yes. Yeah.
And probably includes the hotel staff that services these.
By the way, that's got an LED readout ice machine.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It looks like he could be on a ship.
My God.
Yeah, he could
be on a ship.
That's, yeah.
Hopefully that could be a yacht. Not a submersible.
See, I didn't even want to say it. You know?
What a room. That is very nice.
Wow.
Ice room.
Wow.
They're letting you know how the sausage is getting made.
Is Jeff ever not in a suit?
He's always in his.
Well, we only see him in a suit, and he was probably working.
You wake up suited
and booted.
Is that mean that's his pajamas?
Yeah, right. He's got a suit.
His sleeping clothes.
Not a hair out of place either.
No.
That's on brand for him.
Gosh.
Him and Chappie traveling the world together would be. Look at that.
I mean.
Yeah, I would have that same look. I'm definitely nervous. Yes. What is going through them tubes there?
And then imagine somebody walks in to get ice, and he's just standing.
It's like the Hudsucker proxy. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So the NBA, I really like what they have done with the Summer League. This would be akin to the NFL 2 weeks after the draft, putting the players in their uniforms and having them play a game. Right? Like you'd see Bryce Young quarterbacking for the Carolina Panthers on the spot.
Right.
You know, but obviously, and it would be first and second year players, because you're seeing some second year players, some 20, 21 year old guys there.
There's a couple third year guys.
Obviously, Chet Holmgren and whatever. Right. And I mean, it's fun. I mean, the NFL could never do it, but it's great to just see these guys already play and perform.
It's
and
cool.
Obviously, you start conversations, and then you have, you know.
Just kind of create a little summer buzz.
Right. Pop stars tapping players on the shoulder and getting brushed off by security.
And also, you know, the big stars from the team are there supporting. Right. They're sitting courtside.
It is great.
Yeah, it's cool.
And so they decided to step it up a notch, too. They're having something called NBA Con. You know, where some former stars and old school players are showing up, and it's like a convention in Vegas. Just like anything else. And at NBA Con, the commissioner appeared and announced what's been talked about for, as he said, 15 years in the league office.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's been a long time coming, and they're going to do it. And what it is an in-season tournament, just like what I guess is done overseas for soccer. It's called an NBA Cup. And it starts on November 3rd, and it ends on a Thursday and a Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada, in December for the 7th and the 9th. And what's going to happen is they took all 30 NBA teams and kind of on a World Cup-type draw, placed them in six pools, you know, and the Eastern and Western conferences are in three pools apiece. And, I mean, and these are regular season games that are going to now have a little extra meaning to it because they're NBA Cup games that are going to be happening. And then eventually they're going to come up with teams that show up in Vegas to battle it out on a semifinal night. And bless the NBA, they're really rolling the dice here. As Joe Dumars, who's in the front office, said, it's going to take some time for people to get used to. The semifinal night on the 7th, I'm assuming it's a night in Las Vegas. It's going to take place on December 7th, a Thursday night. Also the same night, week 14, Patriots at Steelers on
Thursday night.
On Amazon Prime, which you can see right here on Roku. So we're assuming the Steelers and the Patriots going into December are going to be
in the
mix.
In the wild card,
right?
Yeah.
Or who knows what's going on. Two incredibly popular franchises playing a game that has a rich recent 21st century history to it. And so, you know, we'll see how that one goes. But I don't know if the NBA really cares if they get curb stomped rating wise. Certainly if, you know, obviously we'll talk about it here. And
I'll be watching.
And you'll be watching the
both.
NBA Cup?
I watch both.
Oh, okay, I guess it's a second screen going. Society, yeah. What have you. Because this does appear to be just as much for the international fans who are used to this type of in-season tournament.
Like you pointed that out pre-show.
That's what this is. It's about for fans abroad seeing what's going on here and anything to place, you know, importance, extra little bit of a level of interest on some of these regular season games as the football season is finishing up. I was curious to see if December 9th was a Saturday, December 9th, if that was like Big Ten championship, SEC championship Saturday.
It is not.
It is the week after. That's the Heisman night.
Okay.
So they'll have, I think, a nice audience for a game that is, again, manufactured as something that's a championship. We'll see if people care about it, but at least they're trying.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, people.
At least
of course,
they're trying
social
here.
Media went nuts. Everybody mad about it, but like, let's I'm see what happens. It. Let's give it a shot.
I feel bad for the Memphis Grizzlies. Are going to have to do it without Morant.
Well,
don't forget, he'll be suspended for most of those games.
Well,
that's
he'll,
true.
He
all
might
of them,
be
right?
able to get to the end of the tourney, though.
What if game 26 is the championship? Then.
I can't imagine
first game back.
I bet you they looked at the NBA, they looked NBA at every facet of that.
Yeah, also in the article is that they were worried about some of these games that are NBA Cup designated be the second night of back-to-backs. That's not going to be a thing. If at all, they'd be the first night of the back-to-back, so guys would be less apt to sit out.
Oh, God.
Obviously, you want your stars playing in this new thing. They are incentivizing.
They want the teams to play in it,
but
too.
But $500K to the winning team these per
teams,
player.
These teams will not care.
Yeah.
You know how inviolate these back-to-backs are, and they're not going
to. I know, but $500K to the 12th guy on the bench is a lot of money.
I know. I'm sure.
And these count for your record, so kind of might care a little bit.
Right.
So if you're a fringe team. People understand, NBA in-season tournament stats count towards the regular season.
Where's the play-in?
NBA play-in games.
Do not count towards.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. They just poof. Kaiser Soze. They're gone.
It's like it never happened.
Tatum's 50-point game does not count.
But I read it, and I'm like, you know what? They're trying. You know, good for them for doing something. Yeah. Like realizing that just doing the same old is just not going to fly anymore, and they'll give it a try. And I know people, trust me, I've been on the receiving end of you trying to make something out of nothing, something big, like, hey, the NFL schedule release. And then 20 years later, multiple networks are doing it. Mm-hmm. So
people always resist change. We know that. So,
but what they resist is like, you're trying to make me pay attention to something I ordinarily wouldn't pay attention to. Well, so to hell with you on that.
November basketball isn't exactly exciting, so this kind of spices it up a little bit.
Well, it's exciting to me because that's usually when I get a big lead in our fantasy league.
Well, you're not going to have the first pick. So
well, we don't know that, Chris.
No, this I'm declaring right now.
I
got
to have Adam
not.
Silver on to talk about this. Chris Mannix in a moment to discuss all of it.
Declaring that he won't.
He will not have the first pick. I guarantee it.
I don't know. I honestly, this is absurd.
Sorry, who won the league last year, by the way?
I believe Adam did, our call screener.
Oh, didn't Bowie win?
No, or is it Bowie? No, it was Don Bowie? Bowie did. Adam was the bridesmaid again.
Yeah, I know Bowie's watching, so text me.
Bowie did. Bowie did. And which makes up for him not winning the year before, saying he didn't know. I had no idea there were the playoffs. I had no idea the Coliseum was so old when I carved my initials into it. You hear about that one in Italy?
No.
Some dude carved his initials of his initials and his girlfriend's initials the Coliseum in Italy. And Italy went nuts. And when I say Italy went nuts, I meant the news. The newspapers, the media.
Is that a real thing?
Yes, the guy got arrested.
He may get fed. And then he
wrote a letter after. I guess he got bailed out. He wrote a letter of apology to the authorities, saying he was unaware that the Coliseum was so old.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
Ivan Dimitrov.
Yeah. You didn't hear about this?
No.
This is 4 days. What an excuse. I'm sorry, officer. That F1 car I stole, I had no idea it would go so fast.
A 27-year-old fitness instructor tourist from England.
What are we
doing?
What
a dumbass.
He wrote a letter of apology. That's nice.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he wrote a letter of apology. Has he never seen? He's never
2,000-year-old wall.
He's never seen Ben-Hur. He's never seen any movie.
Anything?
Yeah, the Coliseum looks so new. Let me carve my initials.
What?
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.